on a hill, dark and cold, like a pilgrim of old. I was lost and could travel no more. As I fell neath my load, in the depth of the road, Jesus whispered, I've been here before. Jesus climbed every mountain of life for me. When he climbed the dark pathway to Mount Calvary, in life's darkest valley my song shall be. Jesus climbed every mountain for me. When at last I shall stand viewing heaven's bright land, at the end of life's long weary way, with rejoicing I'll go through the valley below, to a land that's much fairer than day. Jesus climbed every mountain of life for me. When he climbed the dark pathway to Mount Calvary, in life's darkest valley my song shall be. Jesus climbed every mountain for me. In life's darkest valley my song shall be, that Jesus climbed every mountain for me.
Thank you, Brother Todd and Brother Bruce Green. That was a blessing. What a joy it is tonight to have as our guest Brother Mark Tossel. Brother Mark is pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. It's exciting to see what God is doing in a man's life. Pardon me. And what he will do if we'll allow him. He is already a college graduate with a mechanical engineering degree when God called him to the ministry. And he answered God's call. Now then, in Sydney, Australia, is an old-fashioned Bible-believing Baptist church. My, my. We're honored to introduce you tonight to our friend, the husband of one of the young ladies from our church, Christina Tossel. It was Hilliard then. And we're proud of them. Brother Mark, would you come and you preach to us tonight?
Amen. Well, it's worth coming here tonight just to hear the way you say Baptist, Brother Smith. I got to learn how to say Baptist quite like how you say it. There's about three A's in that word, isn't it? Baptist. I like that. Amen. That's right. That's right. Whatever you say, preacher, you're exactly right. Well, I must say tonight that Christina will not say g'day because she would say howdy. She would love to be here and certainly sends her regards. And I want to say thank you for your support, your prayers, for your impact on her life. And you are impacting Australia through her. And she's just a wonderful, I believe my wife is the model missionary wife. I cannot remember one time in 7.5 years that she has ever, ever complained one time. Never. Has never complained. Loves United States as well as she ought to. Loves Texas, but has learned to love Australia as well. And I certainly do appreciate that. And she's just a wonderful wife. And now, praise the Lord, a mother as well. And those of you who have prayed for us, many of you for a long time have a baby, we rejoice with you in God's answer to prayer. I thank you for the beautiful hotel room. I thank you for the love offering and for the meal which I'm going to have tonight, Brother Smith. And just appreciate everything that you've done. Enjoyed being with Brother Smith. Enjoyed him. And if I go home with nothing else, I'll go home with a whole lot of Cheez-Its. Amen. Psalm 51, if you would, tonight. Psalm 51. And thank you, Brother Smith, for allowing me to preach tonight. I count that an honor and a privilege. Psalm 51. In our church, we have the same tradition that you do. We stand for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 51, if you would, please. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. My sermon title tonight, as you turn there, is How to Get Your Joy Back. How to Get Your Joy Back. Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Now verse 12 is the text tonight. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. I trust that God will bless his word tonight as I speak to you on how to get your joy back. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. Lord, I am certainly honored to be in this pulpit this evening. I count that a great privilege. I pray that you would fill me. I pray that you would use me. I pray that your Holy Spirit would minister the hearts of God's people tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll use me to be a great blessing. I do pray for that dear brother in hospital, Lord, that you would give mercy and comfort and grace to him. In Jesus' name, amen. Please have a seat. I wonder tonight if you've ever lost anything that was really valuable to you. I was born in England and I moved to Australia when I was 7 years old. I lived there from the age of seven until my 20s when I went to Bible college. But for some strange reason, I had permanent residency, which would be like a green card in Australia, but I had never got my Australian citizenship. I was still a British citizen. I traveled to the United States to go to Bible college and was here several years and decided to make a trip home to Australia. I got on the plane with my British passport and I boarded that plane at Chicago O'Hare Airport. I flew to Los Angeles and then from Los Angeles into Sydney, a wonderful, blessed 21-hour trip, whatever it is. If you're wondering if I say a few little strange things tonight, it's probably because it's about 1 o'clock Monday afternoon back home, so I'm a little bit confused right now. Big time difference. I flew into Sydney Airport and I came to the immigration queue. There's one queue, obviously, for those with Australian passports and citizenship, and another for the other folks. So I got in the other line and had my British passport with my residency visa stamped in there and just going through the motions. I thought, oh, this will only take 2 seconds. I gave the lady my passport. She looked at it, flicked through it, looked at me, looked at it again. I thought, this is taking too long. She looked through it. She opened it up and she said, Mr. Tossell, she said, where is your residency visa? I didn't like that question very much. I went through the passport, I showed it to her. She said, Mr. Tossell, do you realize that your residency re-entry permit expired, I believe it was about 6 months ago? I said, oh. She said, Mr. Tossell, you are here illegally. Now, I went to grade school and high school and went my whole life in Australia. She said, you're here illegally. She said, firstly, we are going to fine the airline $1,000 for even letting you on the plane. She said, I'm going to give you a tourist visa. I thought, a tourist visa to my own country. And she said, then you're going to have to go down to immigration and maybe they can help you get your residency back. And I had this horrible fear. They're going to extradite me to England. Now, are there any British people here tonight? I've already made the Filipinos mad at the 6 o'clock hour, so I did not want to live in England. Man, you talk about your heart just dropping down to your feet. I couldn't believe it. Fortunately, I went through some bureaucracy later on, and by God's grace, and really a miracle, I was able to get the residency back. But you know the feeling when you lose something that's very, very important to you. I wonder tonight, is your joy important to you? I wonder tonight, have you ever come to the point in your Christian life where it's just going through the motions and it's just Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and soul winning or bus calling and teaching that class and you don't have that sparkle, you don't have that enthusiasm, you don't have that fire, you don't have that passion. Probably it's because as a Christian, you have lost the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we all go through this as Christians. The longer I work with people, the more I find out that a lot of people, they're bearing burdens and they have struggles and difficulties, and it's very easy in this wicked, evil world in which we live to lose that joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you can't make it without it. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. In Psalm 51, we see David. And David said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Folks, we don't need to have salvation restored to us because it's eternal, amen? It's not get it one day, lose it the next. We have it for all eternity. But we can lose the joy of our salvation. A Christian without joy is like a fish out of water. He'll survive for a little while, but not real long. And we need to have that joy of the Lord. And I tell you what, as I serve the Lord in Australia, I go through the same battles that you go through. And I bear some of the burdens that perhaps some of you bear. And as I work with people and I realize I talk to people, I think to myself, this person has no joy. They're just going through the motions. They're sometimes even reading their Bible and praying and just not getting a lot out of it and not rejoicing in the Lord and not singing from their heart. And we need to get our joy back. When you lose your joy, how do you get it back? I want to give you four thoughts tonight. Number one, you're welcome to write these down if you wish. Number one, remind yourself of God's love. Number one, remind yourself of God's love. You see, when you lose your joy, you've lost your focus. You're focusing on problems. You're focusing on people that have hurt or offended you. You're focusing on a lack of finances. You're focusing on that bad doctor's report. You're focusing on that difficulty, that struggle, that problem. But you ought to be focusing upon God Himself and on His great and wonderful love for you as a person. And as Christians, we need to refocus our minds. I was speaking to a young man this morning having some struggles. And I said, sir, the Christian life is a battle of the mind. And we need to refocus our minds. Gird up the loins of thy mind, the Bible says. We need to gird up our loins of our mind, control our minds, and focus upon the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 8. We're going to use our Bibles a bit tonight. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to be particularly careful what I say tonight. Two reasons. Number one, my wife's preacher is here. Number two, my wife will be watching this on the internet tomorrow. So, sweetheart, don't forget those nice things I said about you. Romans 8, verse 35. Let's have a look at the scripture says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Tonight, if you have no joy, let me ask you a question. Do you feel loved by God? You say, Brother Mark, I know that God loves me. I know John 3:16. I didn't ask you if you know in your head that God loves you. Do you feel? Do you feel? Do you feel God loves you? Pastor, I found many Christians would say no. You say, well, you know, it's all about God's promises, not about feelings. I'm sorry. But see, the Scripture teaches us that we are made in the image of God. And God's given us feelings. And we need to ask ourselves, do we feel loved by God? Why do Christians sometimes not feel loved by God? Here's some thoughts. Because of repeated sin and failure in their own life, they don't feel loved by God anymore. Because of unanswered prayer, they don't feel loved by God. Because of trials and difficulties that God has allowed into their life, they don't feel loved by God. Because of a feeling of being unwanted and unlovable. Because of a misunderstanding of God's character and purpose. Because of bitterness, anger and frustration. Because of confusion about the providence of God. If you're here tonight and you've lost your joy, let me ask you the question, when was the last time that you sat down with the Bible or knelt down upon your knees and just meditated upon the love of God demonstrated for you in the person of Jesus Christ? You say, well, how can you prove to me that God loves me? Well, of course, the Scriptures are filled with references. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee, the Scripture says. But even more so than that, if you want evidence of the love of God, just think this evening that you are not going to go to hell one day. Just think tonight that your sins have been cast away from you as far as the east is from the west and cast into the depths of the deepest sea and will be remembered no more. Think of the fact tonight that God sent His only precious Son. Now, preacher, I always used to meditate on that, but now that I have a son, it means a lot more. I wouldn't give my son to die for someone. Unless perhaps it were either in defense of my country or on the mission field. But to give up my son for a criminal, that's love. That's love. Do you feel loved by God? You say, well, how can I be reminded of that? During this trip, my wife has given me 12 different notes, one for each day, with a little cute little saying in it. You say, what do they say? None of your cotton picking business. And you know, I read those and I look at it and I think about it. When I read those love notes, it reminds me of her love for me. God's given you 66 books of love notes. If you're not in the book, you're not going to know that He loves you. Boy, if you don't have the joy of God tonight, you need to remind yourself of God's love. Number two, remember past victories. In my personal experience, one of the reasons for a loss of joy is just plain old failure. Just failure. It may be failure in business. It may be failure in the workplace. It may be failure in relationships. It may be what we see as financial failure. It may be any kind of different failure. But failure will often rob us of our joy. And boy, when we're on the ground and we're bleeding and broken, Satan comes along with his big boots and he kicks us and says, you're a miserable, rotten failure. And sometimes we believe it. But you know, we need to remember past victories. Our church was started in November of 1999. It's not unusual in Australia for a church to be 5, 6, 7 years old and have about 20 or 25 people. And God did a miracle at our 6-month anniversary in May of 2000. We were going for a big day. And we had on that day what seemed to me like 1,000 people. We had 52 people. And we were rejoicing. We were so excited. We had one lady in our church brought 30 visitors. She was a Filipino, brother, amen. I'm still trying to get back in his good books after what I said. We had 52 on that. Man, I was so excited, and I was walking 6 inches above the ground. So happy. The next Sunday, I was scheduled to preach for a friend in Victoria, a man named Ren Abril, American missionary down there. Now, I had not preached away on a Sunday. It was my first time preaching away. I don't do that very often on Sundays. And back then, it was the first time I had done that. I went down to preach for him on that Sunday, and I had a friend named Steve Quilty preach in my absence. As soon as I was done preaching for my friend, I got on the cell phone. I said, "Hey, Brother Steve, how'd it go today?" He said, "Oh, it went okay." Now, remember, we had 52 last Sunday. I asked the inevitable question that a Baptist preacher would ask. How many did we have? He said, "Well, including our family, we had 12. He has 5 in his family. We had 7. Went from 52 to 7. Bye-bye, joy. It was like this. Preacher, I think I was, no joke, I think I was depressed for 2 weeks. Do you know the number one reason why missionaries leave Australia? Discouragement. Discouragement. But do you know why a lot of Christians lose their joy? Same thing, discouragement. You say, "Well, what do I do?" Remind yourself of past victories. You say, "Well, things just aren't going how I want them to go, and my finances aren't good, and my health's not good, and my relationships aren't what I want them to be, and work's not going so well." And I remember that tonight, that brother praying about perhaps being laid off from his job, and those kind of things that play on our mind and discourage us. We think, "Man, I just feel like a failure." Maybe you feel like a failure as a parent or as a spouse or as a soul winner or even just as a Christian with sin and temptation, and you feel like you've just failed and failed and failed. What do you do? Remind yourself of past victories. Think back to that day that God saved you. Think back to the joy that you had. Think back to the answers to prayer, and think back to the ways that God has used you, and look back to what God has done and rejoice. I remember when I was down and out concerning that day where we went from 52 to 7 in 1 week, and boy, as I began to get out of that heaviness, the Bible calls it, I began to get out of the slough of despond, as it said in Pilgrim's Progress, I began to think, "Hey, at least we had 7. And I look back at the victories that God had done for us, and you know what? God has blessed us abundantly. But if I'd not regained my joy and quit, all those people that you saw in that presentation tonight, many of them would be on their way to hell. You need to get your joy back by reminding yourself of past victories. Number 3. Remind yourself of the love of God. Remember past victories. Number 3. This one's about as popular as a pork chop in a synagogue. Number 3, repent of your sin. Repent of your sin. You say, "Brother Mark, I thought this was going to be an encouraging message tonight." I'm encouraging you to repent of your sin. Nothing will make you lose your joy as fast as sin will. Psalm 51, we read concerning David. Look, if you would, we were there a moment ago. In Psalm 51, as we read this, we read about David's depression. This depression was not caused by struggles with Absalom, as we may read in other Psalms, where he was down and discouraged about Absalom, or concerning perhaps the persecution by Saul. In Psalm 51, his depression and heaviness of spirit was caused by his own sin. And so often in the lives of Christians, and I can testify at times in my life, I've not had joy because it was just old-fashioned sin. Psalm 51, look at it. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my" what? "Transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. In verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Now what he's talking about there is you as a Christian know that when you have the presence of the Holy Spirit, when you sin, you grieve and quench the Holy Spirit and he convicts you. And as he does so, if you don't repent of your sin and change that which is wrong in your life, then you'll lose that joy. And so often, may I add this, it's very often a secret sin. Pride, jealousy, discontentment, covetousness, love of self, lust, anger, sin will take away your joy. Do you know that we hear a lot today, Pastor, about guilt being bad? A lot of people, guilt's bad, bad, bad. Well, 2 Corinthians 7:10 says this, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. As a Christian, when I'm convicted of my sin, and boy, I have that sorrow that has replaced the joy that I did have when I was right with God, what God is doing is God, by His Holy Spirit, and oftentimes I might add through the preaching of God's Word, the pointed and powerful and poignant preaching of God's Word, we sit under preaching or we read the Scriptures and God convicts us of something that's in our heart or in our lives and He asks us to change that behavior, to repent of that sin, and we refuse, we grieve Him, we quench Him, and we lose that precious joy. Let me ask you a question. Is that sin worth losing your joy? I don't believe so. But you see, we're so foolish we hang on to that thing. Sin will take away your joy. Do you know David was miserable for a whole year? For one whole year, 12 months, he had no joy. I wonder tonight, has God pricked your heart about a sin in your life and you have said no and said no and said no and you wonder why there's no joy? Sometimes Christians try and justify their behavior, and you can do all of that, but you know that you're wrong because you have no joy. Sin will take away your joy. You need to repent of your sin. I remember when I was at Bible college, God called me to preach and be full-time Christian work. And I said no. And God spoke to me again, and I said no. And God spoke to me again, and I said no. And I said no, and I said no. Do you think I had joy? Do you think I was happy? Oh, I kept up a good facade, Brother Smith. I had that Christian look, and I might even smile when I was at church, but deep down on the inside, I said to myself, Mark, you are not happy. And it took 5 long years of wrestling and struggling. Finally, it took an almost fatal head-on car accident to wake me up and make me realize that I was sinning against God. And when I got right with God, I remember on the evening that I surrendered to preach, January 1st of 1997 at 9 o'clock on a Sunday night, and I came down the front and said, God, I will be a preacher until the day I die, instantly got my joy back. That was stupid. Dumb. 5 years. Folks, if you're here tonight and you don't have joy because of known sin in your life, get right tonight. You say, I don't know why I have no power to win souls, and my prayer life is dull and my Bible reading is boring and I just don't have that zip and that enthusiasm. Bible says, where iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Sin will take away your joy. Number 4. How do you get your joy back? Remind yourself of God's love. Remember past victories. Repent of sin. Number 4. Run to God's presence. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Our church is 7.5 years old. God has blessed us in the fact that we've had very, very few problems, really, in 7 years. I could probably count on one hand the genuine problems we've had in our church in all that time. Like I said to you, last year was the greatest year of our church. Wonderful, wonderful year in our church life. And I said to our folks, I said, you better watch out because Satan is going to be mad. And I remember saying that several times, and you know how it is, it probably just went over the heads of most of the faith. Oh, yeah, everything's going great, Pastor, we're all right. In 1 week, ask Christina, in 1 week, I got more discouraging news and news about more problems and marriage difficulties and people in sin and stuff you wouldn't believe. In 1 week, I got probably 5 phone calls more than in 7 years. And here's how it went. The first phone call, I stooped a bit discouraged. Next phone call. Man, it was like someone put 200 pounds on my back. Well, I was discouraged. I thought, Lord, what's happening? What's going on? It was Saturday. I knew I'd have to preach on Sunday. And I might not know much, but I know that I don't need to be getting in the pulpit down. I can't help my people. D.L. Moody said, God will not use a discouraged man. And I knew I cannot get in that pulpit depressed in spirit. I didn't know what to do. We lived next door to the church. 10 o'clock on Saturday night, I went into the church and I went to pray. But I didn't take my prayer list. I must have said, all I may have said in that time was, God, I just really need your help. Lord, I don't know what's going on. Lord, I love these people and there's these problems and there are these things that are hurting our folk and hurting our God. What is happening? And God, I'm discouraged. You know, it's okay to tell God you're discouraged. David did. I said, God, I'm discouraged and I'm frustrated and I don't know what to do. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. I prayed from 10 to 11 and 11 till 12 and 12 till 1 and 12, 1 till 2 and 2 till 3. And at 3 o'clock Sunday morning, I went back to the house with a smile on my face and a spring in my step. God gave me my joy back. Some of those problems are still there. We're dealing with them. But with a different spirit. You say, why? Brother Mark, you're a missionary. If only you knew what missionaries are made of. The same dust you're made of. Someone used an expression a little while ago that I quite like. They said, I'm just a balloon with the skin peeled off. That's nothing. That's all we are. We're nothing. We're all made of that same stuff. And you know what? If we don't walk with God and we don't spend time with Him, we will not have joy. We won't. You say, Brother Mark, I have no joy and I don't think I'm in sin. And all right, how's your prayer life? How's your Bible reading? How's your Bible memorization and meditation? How's your walk with God? There are three things that go together in the Bible. Always prayer and thanksgiving and joy. Look if you would at 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. Now I've got written in my notes here, they go together like bacon and eggs and toast. I think that's a good little illustration. I've got to work food in there somewhere, amen? You saw, some of you were here earlier, you saw a photograph of me working the barbecue up there. Well, you would call a cookout, we call it a barbie. And by the way, we don't throw shrimp on the barbie, we throw prawns on the barbie. We call shrimp prawns. Our church has its priorities right. We sold that barbecue and bought one twice as big, amen? Cooked twice as much food. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 16 says what? Rejoice evermore. So we see joy. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything what? Give thanks. You see there together, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. When you as a Christian, you find yourself going through the motions in the Christian life and getting a little weary of the work of God instead of weary in the work of God, and you begin to lose that zing and that passion and that enthusiasm and that happiness and that excitement in your Christian walk. You're standing there in church and singing the hymns and it's just kind of coming out of your mouth. It's not coming from the heart, and you're not enjoying the special music and your Bible reading's not what it was. When that happens as a Christian, let me ask you, how's your walk with God? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Look at Psalm 40, if you would please. Psalm 40. You must run to God's presence. I believe this, preacher, I believe that often God allows problems for that very purpose. That we would run to Him for help. And we would not otherwise do so if we didn't have those problems. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Boy, as Christians, we need to have that song in our mouth of praise unto God. But we will not have that if we don't have a walk with God. Now you say, well, Brother Mark, you're just 38 years old. You've probably not had a lot of problems in life. I don't suppose I have compared to probably many in this room. But my wife and I had the privilege for almost a year of working for Dr. Tom Williams, the evangelist. And Dr. Tom Williams, you may know his story. His first wife died giving birth to his second child. That second child was born so deformed that at the time of that child's death, her head was as long as her body. After that, he married a lovely Christian lady named Pam. They were married for 18 years. They went to Israel on a trip, and she got bacterial meningitis, the worst case of bacterial meningitis that hospital had ever seen in its history. Because of that bacterial meningitis, she went into a coma for 6 months. When she woke up out of that coma, miraculously, she had the mind of a 3 or 4 year old child, and she was in the fetal position. He gave her therapy for 8 hours a day, day after day after day. They were traveling in a big motorhome, and he was preaching in the evening and spending all day working on his wife, fixing her and helping her to move her joints and straightening her out. And then he taught her how to walk, and he taught her how to eat, he changed tens of thousands of diapers on his own wife. Spent over $3 million on medical bills and no insurance, and cared for her for almost 30 years. One time he went away and his nurse went away separately. And he left my wife and I on our own to care for his wife. 1 week. I promise you, after 1 week, I was physically and emotionally exhausted. And I said to Christina, I said, how in the world has Dr. Williams done this for 25 years? But can I say this? In all of my life, I have never yet met anybody as happy as Tom Williams. Every time I meet with him in the morning to pray, he'd say, Brother Mark, let me tell you a joke. I mean, he'd tell me several jokes every day. He'd laugh with me and joke with me, and we'd spend time together. He is the happiest person I've ever met in my whole life, and yet he has suffered maybe more than anyone I've ever met. So how does a man that has suffered so much have so much joy? Because he was a man of prayer, and is a man of prayer. He's a man who walks with God. And every time a new problem came, he wouldn't even wait to run to his house. He wouldn't wait to run to the office. He would kneel right wherever he was in the middle of the driveway, and he would begin to pray and pour out his heart to God. Folks, if we would learn to do that, we wouldn't be losing our joy all the time. Now the Bible says, my heart is fixed, I will not be afraid of evil tidings. A fixed heart. How do you get that? Walking with God. I wonder tonight, how's your joy? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Are you weak tonight? Are you weak in your Christian walk, in your Christian service? Have you lost that excitement, the happiness of the Lord? If you have, remind yourself of God's love. Remember past victories. Repent of your sin. And run to God's presence. I think some of you tonight might need to take advice from God's word. And leave here as the eunuch did, rejoicing. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder, are you saved tonight? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Maybe you're here tonight. You say, Brother Mark, I'm not sure I'm saved. Brother Mark, I don't know that I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Can I pray for you tonight? Is there anybody? Is there anyone here tonight? I'm not sure you're saved. Can I pray for you? Just raise your hand. I'll pray for you at all. Anyone here tonight under the sound of my voice, not sure you're saved? Christian? How's your joy? Some of you might want to remember back how excited you were when you got saved. How thrilled you were. Do you have that joy tonight? Do you have the joy of the Lord tonight? Perhaps you're here tonight, you say, Brother Mark, I need to get my joy back. Pray for me. Can I pray for you tonight? I need to get my joy back. Pray for me. God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. God bless you. God bless you. Hands all over the room. Anyone else? Brother Mark, pray for me. I need to get my joy back. Pray for me. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? I need to get my joy back. Pray for me, please. God bless you in the back. God bless you. What do you need to do tonight to get your joy back? Which of those four things perhaps do you need to do? What is robbing you of your joy? Are you forgetting that God loves you? Have you forgotten past victories? Are you living in sin? Or are you not spending time with God as you ought? I'm going to ask the preacher to come if he would and continue the invitation.